Welcome to WCRI's Kids Hour. Whether you're a child, teen, young adult, or just young at heart, we hope to show you a world filled with music and the arts. It's all around us. It's in your favorite cartoons, TV shows, movies,
inconceivable,
video games, musicals, theme parks, and so much more. It's everywhere. During this show, we'll explore the many ways music and the arts are a part of everyday life, and maybe even get a visit from a special guest from time to time.
You don't say!
So, come along with us as we learn and have fun. But most of all, we'll enjoy lots and lots of wonderful music. WCRI's Kids Hour is brought to you by the Newport Music Festival. The Newport Music Festival has brought memorable concerts and inspired programs to some of the most beautiful venues in Newport and the surrounding area. For more information on the Newport Music Festival or to donate, please visit newportmusic.org. Oh, we better go. I hear the orchestra getting ready for today's show.
Hello, kids, parents, young adults, and young at heart. I am Jamie, and we're back once again with WCRI's Kids Hour. And this week, it's a very special occasion, as we will listen to the Newport Music Festival's presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Let's get started. The Newport Music Festival presents Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, the tale of a miserly man who comes to realize the true spirit of Christmas. When this story first appeared over 175 years ago, few observed Christmas other than at church. Few employees gave workers off for the holiday, and the jolly country celebrations of England's past were largely forgotten in the cities. But this little story helped transform Christmas from a staid religious holiday into the joyous season of faith, feasting, and goodwill it is to this very day. Dickens' Ghost Story of Christmas opens in London on a cold, snowy December 24th in the year 1843.
Once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. Ebenezer Scrooge was a squeezing, retching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, a hard-hearted miser. On this morning, the office of Scrooge and Marley was shrouded in cold, bleak, biting weather. But external heat and cold had little influence on Scrooge. No wind that blew was bitterer than he. Merry Christmas! Humbug! Begone, you miserable little beggars! Take your infernal Christmas carols and get away from my door!
Sorry, sir. Merry Christmas, though, sir.
Bah! And you, nephew, what right have you to be merry? You're poor enough. Merry Christmas! Bah! Humbug!
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? You don't mean that, I am sure. What right have you to be dismal about Christmas? You're rich enough. Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be, Fred, when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would... would be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Ha! Keep Christmas in your own way, nephew, and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it, Uncle.
Well, let me leave it alone, then. Much good may it do you. Much good it ever has done you.
But Christmas time is a good time, Uncle. And though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless it.
God bless Christmas. Hurrah!
You there, Bob Cratchit. Okay, let me hear another round from you and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. Now return to those letters.
Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
Don't be angry, Uncle. Come on, dine with us for Christmas dinner tomorrow. Helen would love to meet you.
Helen? Oh, yes, your wife. Why did you get married, Fred?
Because I fell in love, Uncle.
Because you fell in love with a woman as penniless as yourself? Fred, oh, good afternoon.
But you never visited before my marriage. I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you.
Very well. Good afternoon.
Oh, I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And Happy New Year.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cratchit. See my nephew out.
This way, Mr. Fred, and a Merry Christmas to you, sir.
And to you and your family, Bob. How is Mrs. Cratchit and the little Cratchits, especially your youngest, the lame boy?
Tim, sir. Tiny Tim. He's getting better. Thank you for asking. Happy Christmas to you, sir. Two to see you, Mr.
Good day, sir. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley, my partner, has been dead these 7 years. In fact, he died 7 years ago in this very night. I am Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ah, well, at this, festive season, Mr. Scrooge, we seek charity for the poor and destitute.
You see, many thousands are in want of common necessaries. Hundreds of thousands are in want of common comforts, sir.
Are there no prisons?
Plenty of prisons.
And the Union of Warehouses, are they still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
The treadmill and the poor law are in vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Oh, I was afraid something had stopped them in their useful course. I'm very glad to hear it.
Well, they scarcely furnish Christian cheer, Mr. Scrooge. A few of us wish to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. We do so now because it is a time when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. So, what shall I put you down for?
Nothing!
You wish to be anonymous, sir.
I wish to be left alone. I do not make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people happy. I help to support the prisons and workhouses. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
Oh, but many can't go there.
Yes, many would rather die.
If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population.
I see. So the firm of Scrooge and Marley declines regard-
It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies constantly. Good evening, then.
Very well. You have made your views quite clear. Good evening to you, sir.
Mr. Scrooge? It's 7 o'clock, sir, and it is Christmas Eve.
So? Oh, I'll suppose you want all day tomorrow, eh, Mr. Cratchit?
If quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair. You don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work?
Tis but once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pockets every 25th of December, but I suppose you must have the whole day. Be here all the earlier the next morning, Mr. Cratchit.
I will, sir. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas indeed. Bah! Scrooge took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern and walked home through the rolling fog and bitter cold. He silently passed the urchins crowded round the fires in the street, trying to keep warm. The icy Scrooge trudged along through the dark streets, but just as he reached the door of his dismal house, he thought he heard something calling. It was the voice of his long-dead partner, Jacob Marley, whose ghostly face appeared on the door knocker. Scrooge hurried inside, closed the door, and locked himself in. He double-locked himself in. He checked the sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa, no one under the bed, no one in the closet. Secured against surprises, Scrooge put on his dressing gown and nightcap and sat down before the fire to take his gruel. When...
Ah, what? What is it? Every bell in the house must be ringing. What in the... world? Nonsense! Humbug! It's all humbug! Wait, what's that? Someone's in the cellar, but the doors are locked. Double locked! Something is coming up the stairs! Closer! It's outside my door! It's Humbug! He won't believe it!
Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge.
How now? What do you want with me? Who are you?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley. You don't believe me, Scrooge? Why do you doubt your senses?
Disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You're not a ghost. You're just a bit of a bad beef. A blot of mustard. A fragment of an underdone potato. Ha! There's more of gravy of grave about you, whatever you are. Humbug, I tell you! Humbug! Mercy! I believe you! I believe you! I must! Oh, dreadful apparition! Why do you trouble me? Why do spirits walk the earth? Why come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow man. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death, doomed to wander the world and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared, and turn to happiness.
You're not fettered, Jacob. Tell me why!
I wear the chain I forged in life, link by link, yard by yard. I am chained by cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers. Witness the weight and length of strong chain you bear yourself, Scrooge. It is a ponderous chain.
I see no chain.
You shall, on the day of your death. Mark me! In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hole. Now, I am doomed to wander without the rest or peace. No regret can make amends for one's life's opportunity misused.
But you were always a good man of business.
Business? Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. But it is at this time of the rolling year that I suffer the most.
I'm sorry for you, Jacob. Is there anything I can do?
For me, it is too late. But I have come to warn you of hope and chance of escaping my fate. You will be haunted by three spirits. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one. The second the next night at the same hour. The third upon the next night at the last stroke of 12. Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Ebenezer, look out this window. That poor woman and her infant huddled on the doorstep below. Look that you may see for your own sake.
Ghosts, phantoms, hundreds, chained just like yourself. They surround the woman, but they're not haunting her. They're pleading. Can't she see them? Their anguish? Why do these ghosts lament, Jacob? Why do they wail?
They seek to aid her. They seek to do good in human matters, but have lost their power forever. They wail in unceasing torture and remorse. Beware this cruel fate, Ebenezer. Beware! Beware! Beware!
Scrooge awoke. He was lying on his bed, still in his robe. Was Marley's visit a dream or not? He decided it was a dream and nothing more. Suddenly, the curtains of his bed were drawn aside and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor who drew them. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man.
Ebenezer Scrooge!
Are you the spirit whose calling was foretold?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
Your past. I come for your welfare. Rise, Scrooge, and walk with me.
What? Out of the window? But I am mortal and liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall and stood upon an open country road with fields on either hand. A little market town appeared in the distance with its bridge, its church, and winding river. It was clear, cold, winter day, with fresh snow upon the ground.
Do you recognize this place, Scrooge?
Good heavens! I was bred in this place! I was a boy here! Look! In that coach going by! My schoolmates, Edward and John!
Hooray! Merry Christmas!
They're on the Norfolk coach, taking them home for the Christmas holiday. Hello, Johnny! Lon! It's me, Ebenezer!
Wait, these are but shadows of the things that have been. They have no consciousness of us. Come.
Why, it's my old schoolhouse! Alas! It wasn't a place of learning, more like a prison.
On Christmas Eve, the school is not quite deserted. A solitary child, neglected by his friends, is left there still. A lonely boy, reading beside a feeble fire. Do you know him?
Why, yes, I know him. I am that child. My own companions were my books. Ali Baba, Robin Crusoe. Oh, poor boy. Oh, I wish, but it's too late now.
What is the matter, Scrooge?
Oh, nothing. There was a boy singing a Christmas carol at my door last night. I should like to have given him, something. That's all.
Let us see another Christmas. Come.
Why, it's me! Years later! But still away at this dismal school alone on Christmas.
Ebenezer! Ebenezer!
It's Fan! My sister! My beloved Fan!
Dear brother, I have come to bring you home. Yes, home. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be. That home's like heaven. We're to be together all Christmas long and have the merriest time in the world. Let's go, Ebby. This way.
Your sister was always a delicate creature, whom a breath might have withered, but she has a large heart. She died a woman, but had, as I think, children. No?
One child. My nephew, Fred. Oh, how he does resemble her.
Come, rise, Scrooge, and walk with me.
Fezwick's warehouse! I apprenticed here! Why, it's old Fezwick! Bless his heart, it's Fezwick alive again at one of his Christmases party!
Yo-hoo there, Ebenezer, Dick, no more work tonight, Christmas Eve, ha ha ha! Join in the festivities, Merry Christmas all, come and dance, hilly-ho! Hens have round and back again, down the middle and up again. Round and round, advance and retire. Old top couple, bow and back. New top couple, start off again. Advance and retire. Both hands to your partner. Bow and curtsy, corkscrew thread the needle. And back again, to your place. Well done, my friends, well done.
Do you recognize yourself, Scrooge? A young man with a twinkle in your eye and a future before you? You're quite enjoying yourself.
Oh, it was a marvelous party, Spirit. With cake and punch and cold roast and mince pies and plenty of beer. Look at old Fezwick! How he dances is glorious! Ho ho! What a jolly good time we used to have!
It was a small matter for old Fezziwig to make these silly folks so full of gratitude.
Small matter? Small indeed!
He has spent only a few pounds of your mortal money, and look, it is so much that he deserves praise.
It isn't that. It isn't that at all, Spirit. Frederick has the power to render us happy or unhappy. To make our service light or burdensome. A pleasure or a toil. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune.
What? Is something bothering you, Scrooge?
No, I should like to say a word or two to, my clerk, Bob Cratchit, just now.
Scrooge, my time grows short. Quick, several years later.
Beautiful as ever.
A penniless girl who loved you, Scrooge.
And I her. It didn't matter that she had no dowry. We were so happy together.
Until your career with Jacob Marley came between you. As you gained, so you lost. Do you see yourself, Scrooge? You're older now, a man in the prime of his life. Your face has begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. Your eyes are greedy, the eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No! Spare me this! Not this, Spirit! No!
This music box is a beautiful gift, Ebenezer. But I realize I matter little to you. Very little. To protect yourself from a hard and cruel world, you have become hard and cruel in response. I have tried to cheer and comfort you, but another idol has replaced me.
What idol could ever displace you, then?
You now worship a golden idol. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off, one by one. Oh, Ebenezer, you've become another man.
I wanted security, success for you.
I seek tenderness, not riches. Therefore, even though it is Christmas, I release you from our engagement. With a full heart, for the love of him you once were.
No, man! Don't!
Dear Ebenezer, may you be happy in the life you have chosen.
Belle, no! Spirit, show me no more! Why do you torture me? Remove me! I cannot bear it! Haunt me no longer!
Scrooge found himself once more, alone, back upon his bed. He drifted off to sleep only to be awakened, again, by the stroke of one. Scrooge gradually noticed a great blaze of ruddy light glowing from beneath the door. Something was in the outer room.
Come in, Ebenezer Scrooge! Come in!
He opened the door and beheld his own sitting room transformed. The walls and ceiling were so hung with living green that it looked a perfect grove. Around the blazing fire lay a feast of meats, fruits, and seething bowls of punch. And there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see. He bore a glowing torch shaped like Plenty's horn, and held it up, high up, to shed its light on Scrooge as he came peeping round the door.
Come in and know me better, man. I am the ghost of Christmas Present. You've never seen the like of me before.
Oh, Spirit, conduct me where you will. I went forth last night on compulsion, yet learnt a lesson which is working even now. Tonight, if you have aught to teach me, let me profit by it.
Profit? Still, Scrooge? Well, then, touch my robe.
And instantly, they were transported to the street of London on bright Christmas Day. The shops were bustling with jolly people completing their errands or returning from church. The grocers, the poultry and fruit shops, all were busy and all a delight. Presently, Scrooge and the Spirit came to Camden Town, to a humble house on a humble street.
This is the home of my clerk, Bob Cratchit, his wife and six children.
Whatever got your precious father then? And your brother, Tiny Tim?
Oh, but here's Martha, Mother. Hurrah!
Sorry I'm late, Mother. We'd had a deal of work to finish up late last night and to clear away this morning.
Well, never mind. So long as you are come. Sit ye down by the fire, my dear, and have a warm Lord bless ye.
No! Father's coming! Hide, Martha, hide! Father! Father!
Ah, Peter, Belinda, Frederick, Harriet. Why, where's our Martha?
Not coming?
Not coming? Not coming upon Christmas Day?
Here I am. Ha ha! Happy Christmas, Father.
How did little Tim behave at church, Bob?
As good as gold, Mother. And better. Eh, Tim?
They sang ever so nice, Mother. I hope the people saw me in church.
because I'm a cripple, it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Bless you, my son. See, Mother, his heart is strong and he will get better. I know it.
Oh, let's play a game! Father, play the memory game with us. Please? Please?
Yes, and then we'll sing some songs. Oh, look!
Oh, smell that goose! Hooray! Look! Look! There has never been such a goose. Never!
All right, be seated. Here you go. Take your turn now. There's plenty of bread and potatoes for all of you. Eat them first.
And later, plum pudding.
Ooh.
Plum pudding?
Yum!
Martha, dear, sit next to Tiny Tim and make sure he eats plenty. He must stay strong and well. If anything should happen to...
Oh, Mother, don't even think that. I'll see that he eats well. Here, Tim.
What do you think we're going to Christmas?
I don't know.
Do you think
we're
going to church tomorrow at
all? You tell me.
That'd be great. I can't wait to see you.
Quiet, please. Quiet. Such a feast requires a Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
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 God bless us, everyone.
What do you think we're going to do for Christmas?
I don't know.
Do you think we're going to church tomorrow at all?
You tell me.
That'd be great. I can't wait to see everyone.
Tell me, Spirit. Tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat by the chimney. And a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No. No. Oh, no, kind spirit. Say he will be spared.
Why? If he be like to die, he better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Oh, you use my own words against me?
Yes. Perhaps in the future, you will hold your tongue until you have discovered what the surplus population is and where it is. It may be that in the sight of heaven, you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child.
Now the punch, steaming hot. Take your turn. There's enough for a toast and one after that.
Yeah, you guys can...
A toast to Christmas!
Here, I would like to propose a toast to, Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast. To Mr. Scrooge!
No!
Father, please!
Not him!
The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had Mr. Scrooge here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, it's Christmas Day.
Oh, I'll drink his health, for your sake and the day's. Not for his. Long life to him, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
Come, Ebenezer, to a gathering across town.
My nephew, Fred, his wife, Helen, and their many, many hungry friends.
And then he said Christmas was a humbug, as I live, and he believed it too.
More shame for him, Fred. I'm sure he is very rich. At least you always tell me so.
What of that, my dear wife? His wealth is of no use to him. He doesn't make himself comfortable with it. But here, a toast. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man, whatever he is. He wouldn't take it from me, but he may have it just the same. To Uncle Scrooge!
Uncle Scrooge!
Yeah! All right! Yeah!
Come, Ebenezer! There is much more to see. Men who keep Christmas in their hearts. Come!
Much they saw, and far they went, and many homes they visited, but always with a happy end. The spirits stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful. On foreign lands, and they were close to home. By poverty, and it was rich. In almshouse, hospital, and jail, in misery's every refuge, the spirit of Christmas left his blessing and taught Scrooge as he went. Presently, they returned to the street of London for the spirit's final lesson, but the spirit had aged.
My life upon this globe is very brief. My time with you, Ebenezer, is almost done. Have you gained by what I have shown you of the good in most men's hearts?
I don't know. How can I promise? Perhaps I'm too old to change.
if it is too hard a lesson to learn, then look upon these. Look here, under my robe.
What? Two frightful, hideous, miserable children, yellow, meager, scowling. Spirit, are they yours?
They are man's. This boy is ignorance. This girl is want. Beware them both and all of their degree. But most of all, beware this boy. For only his brow I see that written which is doom, unless the writing be erased. Without the spirit of Christmas to confront them, narrow puritanism and greed would release these wretched beings upon the world.
But spirits, have they no refuge or resource?
Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons?
And with that, the ghost of Christmas Present dissolved into the mist, and Scrooge stood alone upon the street. As the last stroke of midnight rang, Scrooge remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting his eyes, he beheld the third spirit, a solemn phantom, shrouded in black, draped and hooded, coming like a mist along the ground towards him. Am I in the presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come? You are about to show me shadows of the things that have not yet happened, but will happen? Spirit, will you not speak to me? Oh, ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I've seen, but as I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was, lead on! The night is waning fast, and it is precious time to me! Lead on! Spirit, once more we are at the home of Bob Cratchit, but it is different. So quiet. What is it, Spirit? What kind of Christmas day is this?
And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. None but those who are as humble as little children shall enter into heaven. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me.
Stop, Peter. Stop reading. Oh, my son. My son. Tiny Tim.
Mother, please don't cry. Father will be home soon. Don't let him know you've been crying.
He's late tonight, Martha. When he had Tiny Tim on his shoulder, he would walk very fast indeed. But the child was light to carry, and Father loved him so. It was no trouble, no trouble at all.
Here's Father now.
Sorry I'm late, Mother. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised, Tim, that we'd walk there. On Sundays.
Oh, Bob.
Little child. My little, little child.
Oh, that's cruel, Spectre. Can't you give them some ray of hope that I may change all of this? That Tiny Tim may live? Spirit, merciful heaven, a dismal, ruinous churchyard. Desolate, lonely, crumbling graves. Is poor Tiny Tim buried here? Tell me, Spirit, are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that may be only? Spirit, that tombstone to which you point, what is written upon it? Wait! The name on the grave is Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge? No! No, Spirit, why show me this if I am past all hope? Am I to become like Jacob Marley? Like the other cursed ghost, chained, wandering the earth? Forever? No. No! Spirit, hear me! I am not the man I was. Tell me that I may change these dreadful shadows.
I'll honor Christmas with my heart. I'll try to keep it all the year. I'll live in the past, the present, and the future, and not shut out the lessons they teach me. I pray, please, Spirit, that I may sponge away the writings on this stone. I beg you. I'll change. I pray. I'll change. Please, I'll change. Why, what's this? My bedpost? I'm home? In my own bed? In my own room? Oh, Jacob Marley, heaven! The Christmas time be praised for this! I don't know what day of the month it is. I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know anything! Oh, I'm as light as a feather, as merry as a schoolboy, as giddy as a drunken man! Oh, glorious light, fresh air, ah, the window! Why, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
And a Happy New Year, sir.
Boy! What's today? What day is it, my fine fellow?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day, sir.
Christmas Day? Oh, I haven't missed it! The spirits have done it all one night. And so they had done it all in one night. Scrooge sent the boy to buy the prize turkey and have it delivered to the Cratchit family as an anonymous gift. Then the new Ebenezer Scrooge dressed himself all in his best and got out into the streets of London. By this time, people were pouring forth, and Scrooge regarded all with a delightful smile and hearty holiday greeting. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
By mere chance, Scrooge came upon the charity seekers he had dismissed yesterday, but today he apologized and made a large donation to their worthy cause, with many back payments included. He continued to the door of his nephew Fred, who was in the midst of Christmas dinner with his wife and their many, many hungry friends.
Uncle Ebenezer? Why, I can't believe you're really here! At my home on Christmas?
I come to beg your pardon, Fred, for the things I said about Christmas. That was humbug.
Well, I don't know what to say. Do come in. Helen, look!
What?
Who? Well, may I present my wife, Helen.
Uncle Ebenezer, I never expected this of you.
Oh, Helen, pleased to meet you. But can you forgive an old fool?
Of course, Uncle, of course.
Well, join the feast. Set another place at the table. Here, raise your glasses. All, I propose a toast. A toast to Uncle Scrooge.
To Uncle Scrooge!
And so, Scrooge rejoined his family and rejoined the family of man. The next morning, Scrooge was early at the office. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late, that was the thing he had set his heart upon. And was Bob ever late? The clock had struck 9, no Bob. 9:15, no Bob. And finally...
Mr. Cratchit! What do you mean by coming in at this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir. I am behind my time. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
Bob Cratchit, I'll not stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, I'm about to raise your salary.
Oh, please, sir. You're going to raise my salary? But sir...
Sir! Oh, wait! No, Bob, I've not lost my senses. I've come to them. A Merry Christmas, Bob. A merrier Christmas than I have given you for many a year. Yes, I'll raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family. We will discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop. Bob Cratchit! Merry Christmas! And Scrooge was better than his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he became a second father. And it was always said that Scrooge knew how to keep Christmas well. May that be truly said of us, all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim sagely observed,
God bless us, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening to the Newport Music Festival's presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. This story was adapted for radio and scored by Anthony E. Palermo. If our little production has provided you and your family with good cheer, then you have only to thank Charles Dickens, the founder of our feast, in this fairy tale for the ages. And so, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas, a happy holiday season, and best wishes in the new year. This has been a very merry production of the Newport Music Festival's production of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. That's it for another WCRI's Kids Hour. We hope you support the music and the arts wherever and whenever you can. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Wow, that was so fun. I wonder what we'll listen to on the next show. Thank you for listening to WCRI's Kids Hour, and we'll see you again real soon. WCRI's Kids Hour is brought to you by the Newport Music Festival. The Newport Music Festival has brought memorable concerts and inspired programs to some of the most beautiful venues in Newport and the surrounding area. For more information on the Newport Music Festival or to donate, please visit newportmusic.org. Gotta run! The concert hall doors are about to close. See you later!